Hello and welcome to Adoptee Conversations from the Adoption and Fostering podcast. In this episode, I chat to Dawn, an adult adoptee, and she shares her experience of being adopted in the 1990s. Dawn describes the challenges she faces and her views on different aspects of adoption, both positive and negative, and discusses her reasons for blogging. In this podcast, there's a few moments where the audio signal scrambles a bit. Please bear with us as it's only brief. Also, there's a slightly disconnected question that seems to come from nowhere at the end of the recording. We were chatting after the interview and it was a point that Dawn articulated really well, so we decided to add it back in. We hope you find it interesting, and if you're an adoptee and would like to share your perspective or experience, then please do direct messages at our Twitter feed or on our Facebook page.
I'm Dawn, I'm 25, I currently work at a magazine. I am also an adoptee.
Okay, so you kindly said you'd come on the podcast and you'd share your story. So what's your story?
It starts probably like from when I was two. I went into care I have six half-siblings, one full sibling and then myself, so eight of us went into care. We got split up, so there were two of us, me and my full-blood sister were together, and then the six half-siblings all went to different places. And so for the first 2 years that I was in care, they tried to reunite us. They wanted us to go back to our mums, so I think we did a lot of like family work, and then they decided it wasn't going to work out, so just me and my younger sister were going to be put up for adoption. By which time I was four, so I was quite old. I was quite lucky, but my sister was a year younger than me, so she was kind of like on the cusp of being still, they said, adoptable, which was quite an interesting term at the time. So then I got adopted. I moved in with my parents, who probably found it really, really difficult. And then when I was 10, my parents had their first natural child, and then 12, they had another one. So I went from being an adoptee with a sister who's like my full sibling, having lost like six half siblings, and having two more siblings who were not biologically related to me, but were as much my siblings as anyone else. And then when I was 16, my full-blood adoptive sister went back into care, so that was a really difficult experience to navigate, because then I lost another sibling, and then since then it's just been me, but it's been quite difficult.
There's a lot of stuff going on there, even by the time you're sort of mid-teens. You write a blog. You've just started a blog, and I have to say, I read it and I thought, wow, there's a real insight there. You know, you wrote a love letter to your younger self, and you had some fantastic phrases. So, looking back on your experience of adoption, what are your thoughts on adoption, on your experience?
So for me, I'm remarkably like proud to be adopted. I think it's something that's been an incredible thing for me. I'm very lucky that my experience, I wouldn't say it's been positive because there have been a lot of negatives to it, but that it was the right thing for me. But also, I don't know, I get very angry about adoption. I think it can be treated as like a quick fix, not a quick fix, but like it will fix you, it will make you happy. And I don't think there's enough acknowledgement of the negatives that come with it. Especially like for me growing up, when I was younger, we talked about being adopted. My parents were always very open. I mean, I was four, so I knew I was adopted. There wasn't really any way of hiding it. I'd been in and out of care and different homes for 2 years, but it was never spoken about. Like my birth family wouldn't really talk about that, and we didn't talk about how maybe it made me feel. It was more like, we've given you this life and we want to give you this life, and let's move forward from the past and make the most of it. So it was always given a positive spin, which has made me a very positive person about it, but it does make me quite angry sometimes.
Because you wrote this great quote in one of your blogs that you said, no matter how bad my parents were, and how little I feel they were my parents, the truth is that loss is always there.
And yeah, it's very hard because my mom and dad, I don't remember them. I was so young, but I know that there's two people out there who may like their biology, their genes, their DNA, that is what makes me, and I don't know which part is which, like who, and also knowing their stories and what they're like terrifies me. So I get scared that I might end up like them, which sounds awful. But knowing that what they went through and the kind of people they were, that's quite scary. So yeah, I definitely find it hard knowing that there's two people out there that I can't sit down and talk to and ask the questions I want to ask and speak to the way I want to speak to, and they're just gone. I'll never speak to them again, really. And I've tried, and it just didn't work out for me the way I wanted to as well. I think there was a lot of denial and anger on both sides, and I went about it the wrong way. I was definitely too young and I didn't have the support in place to pursue it as well, so that made it harder. Yeah.
Yeah. So, is there more about that that you would like to share, or is that, you know, how?
I feel like I should probably. So
you don't have to do anything. I don't want to coerce you into anything.
I feel like I'd like to. So, I think a lot of people, when they're put into care or go for adoption, there's obviously extenuating circumstances. It might be ill health, it might be financial. For me, it was a very, very abusive background. So my birth father, he was in and out of prison for multiple things, very, very violent, very, very dangerous person. And then my mum was very, very young. So I think my dad was in his mid to late 30s, and my mum was early 20s. And by the time she was 24, she had four kids of her own. So she was very young and very unhappy and easy to manipulate, I would say. So I came from a very volatile background, which means I have all these questions about these people, and people don't want to talk about it because it's so nasty, especially like even now when I'm 25, I want to ask people these questions. They're like, oh no, don't go down that road, you'll find out something you don't like, or you won't be comfortable with where the conversation goes. And also, I guess in my records, because So last year started applied to get them, so much information is redacted because it involves other people, or it's so negative that they don't feel like it's right for you to have access to it, that it means I will never know. So that's been a tricky one to deal with.
It's interesting because speaking to one of the other contributors, they said this idea that everyone else has ownership of the story apart from her.
Yeah.
And that sounds like your story.
Yeah, it's frustrating. I feel like there's so many limitations on what I'm allowed to know about my life, and that's probably my biggest pet peeve with adoption, is that if I wasn't adopted, this would still be my history, except I would know it all, and they couldn't pick and choose what I was allowed to know. But also, I feel like my records, a lot of the information was wrong. So my birth date was recorded incorrectly. I was said to have like blonde hair and blue eyes and be left-handed. I'm right-handed with brown hair and brown eyes. One record said I was born in 1984, another said 1995. I was born in 1994. So that was, yeah, hard, because the story that I want to know, my story, is not my story, it's what I get there, and it's written inaccurately as well.
So did you mention that you'd sort of made the decision to try and sort of make contact with your parents, your biological parents?
I did, not my dad. I wasn't ready to speak to him. I think I harbour a lot more anger towards him, knowing his backgrounds. But my mum, I thought she was probably as much of a victim in it as I was, or as all of us were. So I did want to contact her. So at the time I I having younger siblings in my adoptive family who aren't related to me, I'm very protective of them, so I wasn't ready for her to know who I was or where I lived. So I made a whole fake Facebook profile, spent months like finding siblings or birth siblings and going through those channels and trying to get answers out of them, and no one wanted to talk to me about it. And I finally got hold of my mum, and we spoke on the phone a few times, but I think at the time I was looking for an apology and acknowledgement of what, where she had gone wrong, and I couldn't get that, and I wasn't able to move forward in a relationship with her because I needed that and she wasn't able to give it to me.
That's a really complicated dynamic, isn't it?
Yeah, and because you don't have that, you don't, she is my mom, she did give birth to me, but I don't have that parent child relationship with her. It's hard to navigate those feelings because she was saying to me how much she loves me and missed me, and I do believe that, I do understand it, and the loss of a child must be so hard. It's something I've never experienced in my life, so I couldn't fathom it. But yeah, it just, I don't know, for me it was too full on, it wasn't comfortable, and I was just too young to negotiate it. I was still in university. It was too much on my plate. And I didn't tell anyone. I didn't tell my parents that I was doing it. I didn't tell my friends. So I didn't tell my counsellor or anyone. I just kind of did it secretly, which made it even worse. Because then when it didn't go the way I wanted, I couldn't explain why I was so angry and upset to everyone.
I am asking lots of prying questions, so please feel free to move on quickly if you want to, but was there a reason that you didn't, that you kept that to yourself and didn't share with sort of the people that you know you've said
yeah,
good relationships
I was
with?
So ashamed that I wanted to know who she was, and I felt so guilty for my parents. I didn't want to hurt their feelings or upset them in doing this process because they've given me so much, and I didn't want them to think that it was because I didn't love them or I wasn't grateful for what they'd done or feel like I was pushing them away, because I think my mum finds it very difficult. When I call my birth mum, my mum, she's like, she's not your mum. Like, I know she gave birth to you, but I'm your mum. I love you the most like in the world. And she does probably love me more than anyone in the world, but it's hard for her to see why I would need that. So yeah, it was something I wasn't gonna tell them at the time, and I mentioned it in passing, but it's definitely something we've not delved into that I've done.
So that's a really complicated dynamic for you.
Yeah it is. I think you just end up feeling protective of those people, and they don't realize that the things they say probably have more impact than they realize. So a lot of the times when I in my teenage years, I was horrible, awful, not a very nice person. I was going through a lot mentally, emotionally. I mean, my sister went back into care. I had a really abusive relationship. I left school. Like, a lot of stuff went on, and I took a lot of the anger out on my parents. But sometimes they say things like, oh, you're acting like you're a birth family, or you can take the child out and give them everything, but they'll still go back to what's in their DNA, and that would really upset me. So now I try very hard not to be that person. So saying that I wanted to know this or engage with this was kind of like confirming that despite everything, I still had some genetic draw to these people.
I mean, you described the language used by your parents, and I'm not after you to say it again. I don't want to draw you into things that you're not comfortable talking about.
Yeah.
But that sounds really harsh, that language.
It is. It was. I to this day, I think there's still barriers that we cross all the time. I think for my parents, it's sometimes a last resort or a reassurance that I'm not like this because of what they've done. I'm like it because of something they can't change. It makes them feel better when I mess up that it's not their fault. So I think that's probably part of it. And also, I can be a very nasty person sometimes. The anger that comes out of me just kind of spills out. And I think sometimes it's just said in like the heat of the moment and not with full realization that that's probably much more hurtful than me swearing at my mother or screaming that you don't love me. You don't understand that I don't feel loved.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I think every parent of a teenager, well, as an adoptive parent, being honest, that stuff that floats around our heads, what you know, when behaviour is really, really complex and challenging, that you're kind of going, you know, I remember at my adoption preparation group being had this conversation about nature versus nurture. Mm. And I think that's kind of the universal question about that we
absolutely
all ask. Am I like this because of my genes? Am I like this because of who raised me?
Yeah.
That's a big one. It's way above my pay grade.
I wish there was like a simple answer, but I don't think there is. Everything contributes, right? I wrote a few months ago for my counsellor a little bit about nature and nurture, because I feel like everything I do is currently, like, I feel like I've got a lot of autonomy and I'm really aware of the choices I make, but when I was 15, 16, I don't think I was as capable of making the choices that I do now, and a lot of it probably was just learnt behaviour and just came out of me. It wasn't something that I was aware that I was doing.
Because you also mentioned, I mean, I read through your blogs, and you're really honest and open in your blogs, and I can really recommend people go and read them. And you write about your two parents. You wrote a love letter to your younger self. You wrote stuff around dating an adoptee, which I thought was really interesting, this kind of this narrative of what goes on in your head.
Yeah, it's definitely a big thought right now. I feel like being 25, I maybe don't want to settle down right now.
But, yeah.
Oh my God, no, but it would definitely, it's definitely nice to meet people and make meaningful connections, and it's very hard to do that, especially like I've been going through this my whole life and I still don't understand it. I'm still not come to terms with it at all. So when I'm dating people, trying to navigate it with them alongside all the pressures of dating anyway, yeah, it's been a ball game. That's for sure. It's definitely made it harder, I think.
Yeah, you want, again, I'm going to quote you to yourself, which is probably some faux pas, is that you said, I carry the baggage of my abandonment and rejection with me. And it's almost like a challenge to people, is it?
Yeah, I want, definitely. I think I push people away a lot. I'm like, because I say I'd never know when to tell people, but I probably tell everyone that I'm adopted far too soon. It's often like maybe the third or fourth thing out of my mouth, and I don't always realise I'm saying it. I mean, at school, whenever they used to do like, oh, tell us your name and a fun fact, I'd be like, I'm Dawn and I'm adopted, and I go on dates and I'm like, oh. So I have a really complicated family, and basically like blah 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 blah, whatever amount that I want to tell them comes out, and I'm like, so this makes me really difficult to be around and I will push you away, so basically it's not going to work. And from the offset, I have a very negative approach to it, which is not good.
Yeah, I mean, but yeah, it's not ideal, but I mean, I guess understanding and knowing that is kind of a good place to be in.
It's a starting point for sure. I think as much as I feel like I understand it, all I know is that it's a defense mechanism. I haven't got around to unpicking it yet. I suppose a big part of it is I'm still so scared to lose people. I think being adopted and, you know, going through the process of getting a family and it's my forever family and this is where I'm going to live now and these people are going to love me was great, and I felt really settled, and I probably like started to get quite a lot better, and then my sister going back into care triggered it all over again. So then at 16 I was like, oh, like those people that are there and constantly there and are gonna love you actually can't cope, so maybe one day they can't cope with you. And then I was like, well, when I date people, that also happens, that like, every person I've dated is inevitably been pushed away, or it's broken down for sometimes not normal reasons, sometimes probably because I was not in the best place anyway. So yeah, I think now I just have a fear that everyone is going to leave. I've always had that, but it gets worse and worse sometimes. It's like ebbs and flows. And yeah, so it's definitely a wall put up.
Yeah, it's really, it's very thought-provoking as someone sort of stood on the outside looking in to live with that, because it's not, it's part of who you are. Like you say, you carry that. Mm. It's everything you've ever known, isn't it?
Yeah, and people always say, well, but look, this person hasn't left and this person hasn't left. But when I suppose I can produce a list of 20 odd people that I've lost in my life, just immediate family, not even, you know, people that I've been friends with or gone to school with, but just people that are genetically, biologically related to me. It would be crazy for me to be able to unpick that myself, and especially with, I don't know, like such a, I feel like I'm quite young at such a young age to be able to understand that and be like, yeah, do you know what, this will happen to me, but it's fine, no one else is going to leave me. That's imprinted on me, it's normal behavior. So
yeah,
just live with it.
Yeah, yeah. Can I ask you another question? Because you mentioned that you've got two, your parents, your adoptive parents, have got two biological children, which came after you. Sounds like a bit of a surprise.
Yes.
And I guess I was thinking that's kind of the age-old question that adopters are asked, is can you love an adopted child as much as a biological child? And I was just wondering what your thoughts were on that. Maybe I'm...
it's a really, really good question. In my house, I would say that adopted children are loved less. That's not to say my parents don't love me. I just feel in myself, regardless of what anyone says personally, I just feel loved less. And I think it's natural, and I don't want to sound like I'm saying that adoptive parents don't love their children, because I know they do. But it's very hard to see that biological connection and know that you can't replicate it. Because watching, obviously I was 8 when my mom had my brother, so I watched her go through the pregnancy, and 10, so I can't even remember the exact ages, but watching her go through that, it's such a physical journey, and the bonding time that they have prior to being born, so they have after being born, I didn't have that with my mom. And even after, you know, my parents worked really hard on my trust and communication and having intimacy with adults and allowing people to be in your life. I've not got that bond with my parents, no matter how much we try and make it. So it does feel different. It's not necessarily a bad thing, though. Okay, maybe love less is the wrong phrase, and it's just love differently.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not putting words in your mouth. I'm in big trouble for trying to putting words in people's mouths. Your blog is quite new. Why have you decided to sort of start to blog?
Well, when I was in my last year of university, university was the most difficult experience of my life. I went to university for a year and left. I didn't like my course, I wasn't happy, I was very, very depressed and angry. Left and moved to a different university doing a different course, and decided that part of that process needed to be unpicking my history, because why not make the difficult process of being away from home and working out who I wanted to be harder by understanding who I was. I think part of me was aware that there was going to be all these changes, I was going to graduate and I was going to be older, but I didn't know what I wanted to do, I didn't know who I was, and I felt like I wasn't going to be able to do that without confronting what I'd gone through. So I applied for my records, and I had some counselling to go with it, and the lovely woman who counselled me offered me the chance to write a blog for their website about my experience, especially because a lot of when we'd gone through the records, a lot of it had been wrong, and it had been quite impactful at the time, and also found out a lot of information that I hadn't known as well, so that was also again another impactful part of it. So I wrote this blog for her and the website, and they put it up, but writing it had made me feel so clear-headed. It was the first time I'd articulated something, and I was like, okay, I don't really understand everything that I've written, but it feels good to write it. So I was like, maybe I'll do that again. And then it just kind of, I kept having points to make, or different thoughts came into my head. So I was like, oh, what about my mental health? Like, how's that impacting me? Or why is my dating life so difficult? Or what's hard about, like, when people say, who are your family? I was like, oh, these are things that really bug me. Let me just, like, write a couple of words on it. And then, yeah, it's been really exciting.
that's really good. And it makes sense reading it. It feels like, it feels very fresh and very, it's not packaged. You know, it is what it is. And it's really articulate. So
it's almost like a flow of thought. It just kind of, I would love to be one of those bloggers that has a really, like, meticulous timetable every 2 weeks, but some weeks I'm writing like two things, then it'll be like 3 weeks and I haven't really written anything. It just kind of comes to me and it flows out, so it can be a lot of typos sometimes.
Don't worry.
Compromises.
Yeah, but it's fine. There's worse things in life than the few typos. So what do you think about, I mean, sort of a bigger question, because you've shared a lot about your own personal experience. What about adoption in general? What are your feelings on it as a route to permanence, as something that's done? You know, do you have any thoughts on it?
I have a lot.
Excellent. I don't think you would.
Yes, so many. It's hard for me, as someone who's had a really good adoption experience, to not be an advocate for it, because it's changed my life in so many ways. I've been so blessed with so many opportunities because of my adoption. So I definitely claim to be a proponent of it. I'm an example of how it can work and how it can benefit people. I'm by no means perfect, but I'm definitely a happy person and moving forward in my life. And so I can see why it would be a good thing. But on the other hand, it is a huge thing. You're taking children and young people and families, and they're being split up, and I don't think there's enough support or services that acknowledge that. I mean, I didn't really engage with how impactful that loss was until I was in my 20s. So in my teen years, it was something that was completely glossed over, and it was adoption is going to make you happy, you're going to be loved, and everything will be fixed. And a little bit of life story work when I was like 3 or 4, and nothing after that. And no one when I was adopted said, yeah, you will be upset, or yeah, it is actually really difficult to go through it. And I think there needs to be more acknowledgement of that side for everyone, because I think people, I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of my birth parents, for example, but that's a huge loss for them. They are people that will need support with that. And then my adoptive parents, it was a huge journey for them. They wanted children. They thought, how can we you know, help people but also have kids, and decided to adopt. And they weren't prepared for quite how serious it was. It was they often, when we talk about this, it was packaged as, you just give them love and affection and it'll be fine, and you have this ready-made family. And it wasn't that, and they were not told, like, or weren't really aware of what the emotional and physical and mental side effects of it would be. So for me, I think I'm a fan of it. I think it's a good thing. I think there needs to be more openness, more clarity, and more support with it.
Yeah. That's an answer. That's good, because I think there's a lot, having spoken to a lot of different people, that there's people have lots of different views, and that's, you know, that's cool. I mean, I've asked you lots of questions. Is there anything that you know? Is there anything that you'd like to say? Is there anything that I've not?
Yeah, I feel like there's like massive parts that I've forgotten to mention, and then I'm like, they've come to me and I'm like, oh, I forgot that. I feel like, so another thing that I think's lacking personally, I think after the post-adoption support, so when you're adopted, you're almost struck off, like, I wasn't a care child anymore. So I didn't have social, like, I don't really remember them if I did, or they were very lacking if they were. I don't remember seeing a social worker unless it was in regards to very specific events. And even when I was going through this counselling, getting information about my family, it turned out I have another, to add to my really massive family, another two siblings who were born in the 70s, who were adopted, and I can't access any information on them because that was a closed adoption in the 70s, and that for me is really frustrating and difficult, and something that I don't really know how to, right now I'm not really engaging with it because I don't know how to deal with it. That's not for adoptees. I think like my parents, when they adopted, they met all those prospective other adoptive parents, and kind of created their own little network and community, but that didn't really work for us kids. There wasn't any other adoptees that I could meet with, or when I was younger I didn't know about it. I know more about it now that there's like groups that you can meet up with and talk to and share your experience with. So I wish that there had been more of that. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the, there's this sense that adoption is something that happened. It's a moment in time.
Yeah, it's finite. You were adopted. That's the thing. You are an adopted person, but adopted sounds so past tense, whereas I think it's something you live with. It's consistent. It's constant. You might spend 5 years not thinking about it and then just wake up one day and be totally like, well, what does that mean? Who am I? Or you might spend 20 years navigating it and understanding it and still feel like you've got nowhere.
Mm. Yeah, so there's a lot to unpick, and it's interesting because I'm just kind of reflecting on what you've said to me, which is you've said a lot of things about a lot of challenges and a lot of areas that are kind of have not been great and have kind of been difficult to navigate, but you're still an adoption advocate. You described yourself as an adoption advocate, and I kind of I'm trying to balance those two things. So that's kind of intriguing to me.
Yeah. I'd say firstly, I'm an optimist. So I'm very much trying to make the best out of every situation. I think maybe part of it is because I had to be. I was going through so much negative stuff that if I got negative, it would drag me down, and I wanted to beat the odds, be a successful and be a happy person. So definitely had that in my personality, my persona. But also I think regardless of whether I'm adopted or not, there's been challenges in my life that aren't related to it. And I think if I wasn't adopted, if I was still with my birth family, I'd face challenges. So I feel using them as a way to say that adoption would be bad for everyone would be reductive and negative, and there's so many opportunities that can come from being adopted and following through with adoption that I think it's better to be a proponent for it and say, yes, it has the potential, or yes, it was good in this way, but we need to do this, this and this. It's far better than going, it didn't work for me, or it didn't work for this person, so I think it should not be there for everyone, or we should completely scrap it or redo it, because I don't think that's productive. I think it should be moving forwards and changing and evolving with people and with the feedback that you get from people. Yeah, whenever I tell people I'm adopted, they ask me, oh my god, why, what's the story? And it's really hard to explain it because I can tell them the boxed up version that I was given when I was a child, you're adopted, this is the reason why, or I can tell them what I think my story is, but then it's coloured by my opinion. I can tell them parts that my parents have influenced, like the opinion they have on my birth parents, but it's involves so many people and so many elements that you can't always, it's not clear cut, it's not one I don't even know how I'm, where I'm going with it. I feel like it's not just one person's story, and I can't give the story to people. It's too complicated to package it nicely and package it fairly, because I feel like I'm always doing an injustice to someone. If I tell the nice, easy version, it's not giving it the gravity and the seriousness that it feels for me. If I tell my parents the version of it, I'm quite diminishing my birth parents and not acknowledging what they went through. And if I give them too much sympathy, I'm not acknowledging what my adoptive parents went through.
And in the middle of all that, what's your story? That's, you know, what is
the other one? What is my story, and what can I share that's fair to everyone? I think that's, I have to remember sometimes you don't need to be fair when telling your truth. It is your truth, as long as you say it's your truth and don't present it as fact.
But that's really complicated, isn't it? Especially when you talk about, you know, your phrase is, I carry the baggage of abandonment, that you talk about two parents, in your blogs you talk about two parents, you talk about the loss of one set of parents and diminishing, you don't want to diminish one by, you know, by supporting, you know, by aligning with one set of parents, you know, that doesn't mean you're diminishing another set of parents. And this complicated dance that you do around even just your own, you know, oh, so why did you get adopted? And your head.
Well, a million things I could say, but which one's right and how should I present it? It's definitely a difficult one to answer, especially as well, knowing what quantity of information people want, which sounds silly, but it's such a delicate thing. You say you're adopted, people have a preconceived notion of what that is. So when I was younger, it was always like, oh my god, are you like Tracy Beaker? And now it's more, oh, are you close with your parents, do you speak to your birth parents, have you ever seen them? So there's always like that consideration, and I don't think people realize asking that is quite harmful, or can be quite harmful, because I personally I don't have a good relationship with my birth parents, and also you don't know what, at that point I haven't told them why I'm adopted, so they don't know the reason. So they could be asking that question thinking it's like a nice thing, like, oh, and then it's like, well, actually they were quite negative people, and that's quite triggering for me, because as soon as they ask that, I'm like, well, no, and the reasons I don't speak to them are X, Y, and Z, in my head, but I can't really tell people that,
because that's
not the average person.
That's a conversation stopper, isn't it?
Definitely.
Yeah, it's, if you put it all out there and all of its kind of it's all of its truth, that you kind of go, wow, you know, and that's the same for my some of my children, you know, that the truth is kind of as ugly as it gets, and people don't want to hear that. They want to hear the finding my family version, don't they?
Definitely. And I think as well, people don't realize it's sharing your truth is like probably one of the most bravest things you can do. I think and I can't speak for all adoptees, but myself, I not crave being liked, but I want to be accepted, I want to be understood, I want to be kept with someone, and sharing that is the biggest opportunity of giving someone to reject me, because I'm like, okay, so you think you like me, here's 100,000 things about me that are horrible and awful and I'm not okay with them, so how can you be? So that's, yeah,
wow. You have given me so much to think about.
I don't even know where that point come from.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, well, thank you so much. I've taken up loads of your time. You've given me loads to think about. And I can thank you for your blog, because I think your blog has really helped me as I've read it. I found it really useful. I feel like a fanboyed for your blog, don't I? I've done not known about it so much. And I'll put up the link to it in the website and everything. But Dawn, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
thank you for having me.
it's been a real pleasure, and you are a genuine optimist, and you've got some fantastic insights, and so I wish you all the best, and hopefully we'll hear from you soon.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Excellent.